I mean, it's just a job after all, isn't it? Some people deliver the post, I jump over rivers and fight tigers.
People think that's easy.
They don't see all the bloody time I spent coaching these lads through training mode. Once this little bugger from Cleveland couldn't get me out of an alley, then left me on pause for 12 hours. I mean, how hard is it to press reset before you turn me off?
Good point.
This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are playing as the world's second most famous fake archaeologist, as we play 1996 Tomb Raider, developed by Core Design and published by Eidos for the Saturn and PlayStation. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man who's an expert spelunker, is Todd Brisket.
Ah, so this is the famous female Indiana Jones.
And our other regular co-host, there's nothing more that he likes than a pair of big, hefty, dual magnums. It's Huell Hauser.
What's a man got to do to get that kind of attention from you?
Today, we're joined by a special guest. She managed to recover all of her materia and revive herself in time to join us in raiding some tombs. It's friend of the show, Amanda.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Third time? Fourth time?
I believe this is four, I think.
Oh, five time you get the windbreaker in the mail.
Ooh.
So it's coming up.
Line it up.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypppodcast.com/Discord, or you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. And as always, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link. You can find it right on the YPB homepage, ypppodcast.com. This week's game is Tomb Raider. Released in 1996 for the Saturn and PlayStation, Tomb Raider features English archaeologist Laura Croft raiding tombs. In this one, you solve lots of puzzles and kill lots of animals in a 3D adventure. Amanda, when you learned we were going to cover this game, you were eager to hop on aboard. So what's your experience with tomb raiding and Tomb Raider?
Yeah, this is my all-time favorite game franchise, so I'm super excited to talk about it with you guys.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
More than Civ?
I like Tomb Raider more than Civ. This is definitely number one for me. The first game I played in the series was Tomb Raider 3 back in 1998 when that one came out. My dad brought it home and had no idea how to do any sort of...
He just saw this lady on the cover.
He did. He saw the lady on the cover. So, me and my dad, we used to spend just crazy amounts of time just playing through the whole series, really. And I still get all of the new games. So a lot of nostalgia for me, but also, just a good kick-ass female role model in the video game world. I aspired to be Lara Croft. I have been Lara Croft multiple times for Halloween. I think she's a great character. I think it's a cool story. I like the artifacts and kind of history and mythology elements to it. So it's just all in all, 10 out of 10 for the entire series, really, for me.
And, whoa.
Wow.
Yes.
10 stars.
10 stars.
Is this why you're an archaeologist today?
Yes. This is why I'm a real life archaeologist today.
Awesome. That makes sense. Yeah. Pulling back the curtain.
I shoot bats in real life.
Yeah, exactly. Pulling back the curtain, I didn't realize this. Was this intentional, Steve? We are recording this on International Women's Day.
Oh, no, that was a complete accident. But
you had such an opportunity there.
So, sorry.
Yes, it was completely intentional.
No, it was tied into the fact that there is a new movie coming out with Alicia Vikander, I believe is her name.
Yes. iRobot herself.
Yeah, but it's clearly based.
She's the Mackie, isn't she? She's ex-Mackie.
Yeah. Ex-Mackie.
Yes. but that's that movie series is clearly kind of based on the new Lara Croft, which is supposed to be a younger Lara, where she's grittier. So,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the Angelina Jolie movie series.
Those were terrible.
Yeah, I mean both kind of fit the era that of the games they were in. So I mean the movies. Yeah. It makes sense to make a new movie because the new games are more, I don't want to say realistic, but more grounded, I would say.
Do we know much about this new movie yet? Does it have has the tomato meter come out yet on it?
No, I think it's like a week or two away. I'm sure it's decent. Yeah. It looks fine.
I believe it's supposed to come out when this show releases, not that week, but the week after. So, okay. We're priming the pump. People are going to get psyched for the movie. Listen to this.
Whoa, now. This show.
Yeah.
You know who invented that phrase?
No.
Donald Trump.
Well, are you going to tell us?
It's Laura Croft.
No, don't you remember Donald Trump took credit for inventing that?
Oh, God, seriously?
Yeah, he invented priming the pump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
is it him and Stormy?
Well, yeah.
Let's not give credit to Donald Trump on International Women's Day.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't. It's just the guy we need to talk about.
Just the person we want to talk about on International Women's Day.
So, I guess, let's talk about the first game, I guess. So did you go right to game number one after three, or did you go backwards to two? What was your lineage? So
I went back to one after that. Figured you got to sort of start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How do the games differ, Amanda? Like, are they mostly the same thing? Because I'm looking at the release dates, and I noticed that that Tomb Raider 3 came out in 1998. So that means Tomb Raider 1 came out in 96. And I'm guessing 2 came out in 97. So
solid guess.
They're just pumping these out pretty quick, huh?
Yeah, the first couple they did a really fast release schedule, now that I'm looking at these dates. So
it kind of reminds me of like Assassin's Creed, where like you get the engine down and then you can just pump out new maps pretty much.
Yeah, I mean the early games are all really similar. And also too, like I don't know really what the right like terminology for it is, but like if you go back and you look at the graphics in them, I mean it's just like it's so basic, and there's just a lot of like repeated textures and things that obviously like wouldn't pass muster today. They're also pretty short in length, I think, compared to like what we might expect from a game today, or certainly the games that are currently out. It's a lot of, it's sort of just like the locations change, different artifacts change, but the story of Lara is kind of like always the same. You know, her dad was an archaeologist. She's kind of, you know, he was kind of blackballed or written about poorly because he was, you know, too fantastical or bought too much into the mythology side of things. And she's kind of just out there to prove that her dad was right. And, you know, protect the Croft family legacy.
Clean up the trash.
Yeah.
According to the old wikiraider.com, which is a Tomb Raider wiki, it looks like there are 15 levels in the first game. So that's kind of short, but you know, this is a pretty impressive 3D world that you're in, at least for the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for the time. Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah. It's pretty par for most PlayStation games.
Yeah,
as far as graphic.
It is a little bit Crash Bandicoot in that you are looking at the character's ass for a good portion of the game, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. It's much more freeform than Bandicoot, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Bandicoot was almost on rail.
Well, you know, this game has nothing on one we're going to cover fairly soon, I'm guessing, which is Croc Legend of the Gobbos.
Oh, yeah. We have been teasing that for a while.
Yeah. But now I've played this game in the past and a little bit this week. I like it, but it also, you know, it has that problem where I just can't handle these kind of games for long periods of time. Like I had the same problem with Mario 64.
Games starring women? Is that what you mean?
Now let's say I did not have this problem with Mario 64, one of the best games of all time. But the problem I have with Tomb Raider itself, these old Tomb Raider games, I haven't played the new ones yet, is just the floatiness of the controls. It's tough to, you have to kind of, we're going back to this phrase we credited ourselves creating. It's kind of tank controls.
Yeah, it is.
And it's very floaty, very tough to maneuver. I'd much rather play Mario 64 with that analog stick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the controls is what I had the biggest problem picking week. I actually, Great Magnet, Teeb told us that this was on sale on Steam for 97 cents. So this is the second time that I actually bought a game that we covered like that week for the first time. The other time was, what was that series we played with Jovial John, that weird click-em game with...
Quest for Glory 4.
Yeah, I had to buy that one. But, yeah, just playing it on the PC, like, my gamepad didn't work with it, because it was just, like, it was pretty much playing off a DOS box. So, like, it was just, like, playing off a 1996 computer. And I could only use the keyboard controls.
It is the actual PC port that came out way back when. So,
there was a port that came out
DOS box emulator.
On, like, 98 or in, like, 98 or something.
Right.
So, using the keyboard controls, it was very clunky. And I did not enjoy trying to maneuver around. And that's my fault for getting the PC version. So I feel like I didn't give this game as much as I could have.
Don't hold that against the...
Against
the series. But yeah, the PC controls, because I actually played a lot of like these early ones on the PC and PC port because I didn't have like a gaming system for them. And the controls were like the most frustrating element of finishing the levels.
Because there's times where you have to climb, like right in the beginning, you have to climb up, and I couldn't figure that out. I don't know if you like to hold
the
jump
slide down and then jump up. Yeah,
yeah. And not even that, but just like jumping up on a ledge, like just like climbing, like you could like grab it and climb up. I couldn't get that down.
That's the frustrating.
So I had to run. I had to run from far away and then jump in order to get above face.
Yeah, this is a platforming game, but it's so difficult to do the platforming just on the because of the controls itself.
Yeah, and that's my fault. I'm not going to hold it against it.
I'm going to hold it against it a little bit. I always thought this had like a little bit of a slippery control back in the day. But
I don't know, the modern games are getting rave reviews. I actually have the 2013 version in my Steam queue for years now.
Oh man, I was going to bring it up later.
If they've actually fixed the controls and made them more modern.
No, it's nothing like this. It's a great game. That reboot, sorry, that sounded bad. I didn't mean it. I mean, something like this. That's not what I tried to say, but it sounded terrible. But no, it's great as in, yeah, the controls are updated and you can actually figure out where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only one I'd played until I played this week's. So maybe going back in time, it was hard for me to adjust.
Back in the day, did you beat this one, Amanda?
Yes. Yeah, I did. With some help from some walkthroughs.
Oh,
sorry.
Course. This was like the start of the walkthrough.
Did you get your Prima guide?
No. There's actually Prima. So there's this like super obsessed like fan lady who I actually checked this recently to see. She's still doing the most detailed walkthroughs online for free for like even the games that have come out, you know, in like even the two reboot games. So just online walkthroughs. But I did beat
it. Is it Angelina Jolie?
I hope so.
Awesome.
Or Alicia Vikander. Oh. One of the two. Maybe both. It's a collab.
The other thing I noticed playing this one again is you kill a lot of animals in this one.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. That's first thing I noticed in this game is how many wolves have to die so I can steal some treasure.
So I can get some ancient treasure.
Yeah.
The answer is a lot.
Yeah, there seems to be a running theme in the series is sort of having a lot more like animal kills than human kills in a lot of the games.
Yeah, they just want to make her into an archaeologist and not a murderer, somebody that commits genocide against
life is precious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Against the natives wherever she's tomb raiding
the natives. But yeah, I was happy right off the right in the beginning you get to kill some bats, so I was very pleased about that. And then later on you get to kill more bats.
Yeah, when I booted this one up and I was running through that first cave, I thought they were just some decorations, so I ignored them. But then they chased me.
What?
And started flying around my head.
Thought they were decorations.
Yeah, just some cave decorations of bats. Like, if you're in the real... Hey,
what are you talking about?
Let's be honest here.
Like paintings? Like cave paintings?
No, just...
Cave drawings?
Atmospheric decorations.
In a cave.
In a cave, right? Okay. Let's break this open and apply it to the real world that I live in, all right?
Mm.
If I'm going to a cave and there's some bats flying around, I'm not pulling out a gun and shooting them. I'm just going to let them fly out of the cave. They're more scared of me than I am of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, not if you've played any old video game. Then you know the real threat that they possess.
That's true, yeah.
The true threat to any life.
Oh. So. I don't know where to go from there.
Well, let's
shoot them
about
bats.
The story. Who wants to run down the story of this first game?
Well, it's interesting because, Amanda, you said in later games at least, I mean, maybe when you start off with 3, that she's like writing her father's name and like following in his footsteps as an archaeologist.
Yeah.
You said.
Yeah, I think that might start off a little later. I mean, it's always sort of like a her family legacy, I think.
Okay, because in the manual for this one, the first one, the PlayStation one, it says that she was disowned by her family.
Yeah, all the ones that weren't
her
father.
And that she's turned to writing to fund her archaeology trips.
What?
Writing what?
Interesting.
I guess writing about adventures? I don't know.
Oh,
God.
You can tell
there's a pre-internet game where she's turned to writing to fund her archaeology.
It's like Sex in the City. So, yeah, it says Lara Croft, daughter of Lord Heshingly Croft.
What a name.
Was raised to be an aristocrat from birth. After attending finishing school at age of 21, Lara's marriage into wealth seemed assured. But on her way home from a skiing trip, her chartered plane crashed deep in the heart of the Himalayas. So then it goes on, like, after surviving that crash and, like, making her way back to the village, she realized that this the rich life is not for her, and she needs to be an adventurer. And that made her father mad. Unable to stand the claustrophobic, suffocating atmosphere of upper-class British society, she realized that she was only truly alive if she was traveling alone. So then her family disowns her because she's not going to be part of their hoity-toity lifestyle.
Yeah.
And she goes adventuring.
You'll be an aristocrat like your father and your father before him.
Yeah, so I think the thing is, like, when they switched developers, like, they totally rewrote the backstory. So there's,
yeah,
like,
a little
of
retconning.
Kind of conflicting, like, retconning going on. Yeah, because so in this one, it's the one where she's, like, breaking into, like, some company to find that, like, bad guy, Pierre, and...
He's French. He's got to be evil.
He's
totally
a
black
French.
And white striped shirt.
Yeah, they're going after like this like artifact that's just called like the Scion from South America, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sarcophagi in the manual, so I don't know if she goes to Egypt at that point.
Yeah, they make a jump over to Egypt in the later levels. There's always like a lot of world travel in these ones, which is, I think that is kind of a cool thing.
Yeah,
in the
that
earlier
makes sense.
Games. Yeah, she would switch settings like pretty drastically between levels, whereas in the new ones, it's like sort of one world map that you basically stay on. So I did kind of like that because it mixes up the scenery pretty much with every level.
Yeah, the opening movie or FMV for this. It seems like she's more of like a hired gun, where like some lady's like, hey, I have this thing I need you to find, and I'll pay you. Like, okay, here I go. And that's like the opening. So it makes sense that like she'd bounce around like the more time she gets hired or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then turns to writing.
And Amanda, you mentioned that this game switched development hands a little bit. The original developer is someone called Core Design. And this game was published by Eidos, and eventually they just essentially bought out Core Design. And then from there, that company kind of got broken up and scattered over time. But Core Design did like did Tomb Raider, and then like everything else on their list, I've almost never heard of, because it's all like games for the Amiga, which was big in England. This is a British company.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and then after Core stopped doing it, it was Crystal Dynamics took over, and then now it's Square in the current iteration. So there's actually like three backstories going on for this one character.
Yeah, that's crazy. And yeah, the modern ones are more like a reboot, where it's like her becoming like the adventurer that she is now. Or
now, does
was,
she in the modern one? Does she come from a lower middle class family and have to work her way up to aristocrat?
It's similar to the story in the manual where her plane crashes and she has to like rescue her way or survive her way out of off this weird island or something.
She's pretty freaking rich in all three iterations. That's like the one consistent sort of. And then like they always have like a training level in her mansion. She'll just have like this crazy obstacle course or whatever that you have to go through to like learn the controls.
That's funny. Yeah, and almost always a plane crash. She's not much luck with planes. So in the new movie trailer, she's in a plane crash.
I think
it's more, it's like a combo of like the old story and the modern reboot, because she's like rescuing her father or something.
Yeah, I think the new movie is supposed to pretty closely follow the latest reboot.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, Amanda, did you play any of these of the games that were not well received? Like this let's see, Tomb Raider, The Last Revelation, Tomb Raider, Curse of the Sword. Like, there were a lot of these games. Tomb Raider, The Angel
of
Darkness.
Curse of the Sword.
Yeah. So Last Revelation
is
actually...
What about Tomb Raider, The Broken Toilet?
Yeah, I haven't played that one. Last Revelation is actually like almost like an expansion pack. It's really short. It's like four levels, and it's like a direct sequel to three. It's like an add-on. I think that might be why it wasn't well-received. It's not a full-length game. Mm-hmm. Chronicles I actually really, really liked. It's supposed to tell her backstory. Like, there's one level where you're playing as Lara and you're, like, a 14-year-old girl and you can't really, like, shoot any guns or do anything. Angel of Darkness was really poorly received because, like, you switched characters. Like, you played as some random dude. I don't know. That one was pretty bad.
No, we can't have that.
No. Anniversary was kind of like their first attempt at a reboot. It was like a direct kind of... I think it was supposed to be like a reboot of the first one, but they changed some things. But then they also just copied some levels and made them better. And
yeah, I remember that coming out sort of labeled as a reboot. Just no one seemed to care. It was weird.
It was lazy.
The anniversary one.
Yeah, and then Underworld I did not like, but I played the Nintendo Wii version, which was so dumbed down.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
Like,
I'm sure that was...
for 5-year-olds.
Weird.
Yeah, those ones... I don't know. Those ones seem to be kind of, like, oddly in the middle. Legend... Anniversary and Underworld is called the second era of games here. And then third era is Tomb Raider from 2013 and Rise of the Tomb Raider. So.
Yeah, I bought Rise of the Tomb Raider on sale the other week, and I'm very excited to play it. Because I loved that one before it.
Oh. Yep, that's the most recent one.
Thought everyone would like to know that.
Oh.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Did you play both of those?
Yeah.
Confusingly, the third game coming out is called Dawn of the Tomb Raider.
Mm.
Is it really?
Damn it. Forget his name. Please move on.
Jimmy Franco?
No, the...
Oh, Andy Serkis.
No. The guy that was in War for the Tomb Raider. The guy that was
Big
in
Bopper.
The Big Bopper. It's like shaving his head and whatnot.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Ed Helms, but it's not. Ed Harris? No, damn it.
No.
Why can't I remember?
It's the guy from Cheers.
Yeah, it's Ed
Woody
Dancer.
Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson, there you go.
Woody Harrelson. Ed Harris. What am I doing? Boy, that was a long way to go for a bad joke.
No kidding.
Whew, we're cutting that out, right?
No. No Cheers. Just to touch briefly on the history, since we kind of went there. Tomb Raider sold 7 million copies and was well reviewed. It was followed up by 4 sequels of diminishing returns before being rebooted entirely with a younger, edgier Laura. The reboot was well reviewed, but it didn't sell as dynamite as the original. So,
I think it should have.
Well, apparently there was also an issue where Square apparently sold like over 1 million copies of the newest Tomb Raider game and still lost money on it. So,
wow,
that was an issue apparently. But it is
budgeting problems.
It does say now, according to Wikipedia, it says it has sold 7 million copies worldwide. So I'm assuming they have made some sort of profit on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
Square should learn to run a video game company.
Well, they're doing a mediocre job lately, but we'll see. And lately, Laura has been voiced by Camilla Luddington, who is
the Grey's famous Anatomy.
And
Camilla Luddington.
She is in, according to Wikipedia, she is in the Lifetime TV film William and Kate, the movie.
Is she Kate?
Who plays Kate? Yep.
She's not a good actress. She's a much better voice actress. I watched that Lifetime movie. That's a good one.
Is it like funny bad or something?
Yeah, because it's funny bad.
Okay, because she's playing the lead role in this, so she is Kate Middleton. I will note
William and Kate, a year on. Oh wait, that's a document. A fairy tale romance TV movie, 2011.
It is William and Kate the movie, 2011. Lifetime produced. So, you know, and she also played someone named Joe Wilson in Grey's Anatomy.
She still does.
Oh,
yeah.
Good old Joe. Yeah.
Yeah. Joey, she doesn't have a British accent in that.
She does.
Hello.
She does not. She's American in Grey's Anatomy.
That's bizarre. Like,
well, the guy who played House is British. I don't know. People do this kind of thing all the time.
Oh, 80%.
British people could do whatever they want, right?
80% of Hollywood is British. Insane.
Yeah. That is true. So, I don't know. I also felt like this game also had the PlayStation graphics problem, which is, you know, it does not hold up especially well as compared to some of the other stuff.
This is an early 3D game. So they got some big polygons and low-res textures.
Yeah, it's not great.
Impressive for the time, though.
Sure, yeah.
So, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
Oh, it's funny that she's in like a snow temple, like right off the bat, and she comes prepared in her signature short.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, and I missed this part, but she did just crash an airplane, so she probably all her fur lined jackets are all burning up in the wreckage, probably.
Well, not in this first part. That's just her backstory.
Oh, I thought she crashed her plane into that mountain. Okay.
Nope. She's just chilling. Literally.
Oh. Ooh, good point.
Yeah, I know it's like a trope about like the skimpy clothes lead video game lead. But it was just blatant in this one.
Yeah, they've gotten much better at that. Some of the early ones. I mean,
she has pants crazy. In the new movie. In the new games.
Yeah. In the new game, she has pants. She wears winter coats when she's like in the mountains now, so yeah. She doesn't get frostbite. It's crazy. But yeah, I like if you like Google sort of like the evolution of what she looks like, it's like from the first game to now, she basically goes from like having like giant boobs and no clothes to being like a woman of realistic proportions with lots of clothes.
Mm-hmm. More clothes. That's what I.
More close.
Oh well, when this game came out, it was firmly in the dark ages of sexism. I guess would be the term for it.
And there was did you guys play with the nude codes on?
Oh no,
okay. Of course not.
Well, it's also it's weird to think, oh, this was appealing to people at one point, like seeing.
Yeah, like this was like, oh my gosh, she's so hot. Check it out. There's like four triangles. There's like one boob.
Yeah, but this was before like today's internet, you know, where, you know, there's like all this online pornography readily available, you know? You had to take
Wait, what?
That. What? There's porn on there.
I gotta write this down. Hold on. Take a note. All right.
But by the way, though. Some songs might even say that the internet is for porn.
There's four porns.
The other thing is, if you
it's a perfect reaction.
I'm just gonna move on. The other thing is, if you go and look for the old ads for this, like the old TV spots, pretty much all of them are very cringeworthy.
Oh yeah, you sent me one.
Yeah, like there's one with a kid and his dad, and the dad is really excited about playing this game. And
yeah, it's like Amanda knows about that.
Because Laura Croft is leaning over the shoulder of the kid and helping him play the game, and the dad like leans in and goes, "I'm going to be next," and it's like, "Oh Jesus Christ, God. This is."
Well, if it's the same one,
PlayStation time, kid, get out.
If it's the same one, like they go to play the game, and like an in life Lara Croft like kicks the door, and she's like, "I'm gonna show you how to play," and the kid just goes, "Yes, ma'am." I'm like, what are they saying here?
Yeah, there's that one. There's also one where frankly, it seems like Lara has a sex dungeon or something. Like, because it's like a commercial for a video game intercut with like panting and moaning and like shots of like a dungeon or something. It's like, what the hell is this?
You never get to explore the full layout of her mansion in that first game.
Exactly. True. Like, how many, you know, different rooms can you possibly have at some point? You're obviously going to
sex. Yeah, they get redundant. You gotta. Gotta mix it up.
Enough parlors. Let's put something else in this wing.
Yeah, let's just put a dungeon.
I do remember, I don't know if it was at the end of 2 or 3, but the big story was like, if you beat the game, like you get to see her take a shower. Like that was like a huge story. But like everything's just like covered up with steam. Doesn't matter.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like that's happened for a lot of games.
Yeah, they did it in one of the
Super
movies.
Mario World, I think.
Yeah, in I think in the first movie, there's like a scene where it starts off and it's like a shower head going and it's all like steamy and it like starts panning down slowly and you're like expecting that you're about to see Angelina Jolie naked, and like they fool you because it's the like bad dude And you're just looking at some like ugly guy in a shower. And the whole audience, I remember, they got me. I saw it in theaters, they were all like, oh.
Like you could hear the crowd.
You could hear all the men just getting mad.
It's probably like a PG-13 movie. It's like, you know you're not going to see anything. Like, you know it walking in. But yeah, they definitely upsold that, the whole franchise.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I don't know. Like, that's, it was kind of titillating. Like, that's what they were going for. But it definitely veered into the gross line for me, like, looking back at it now. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like, I don't know. Austin Powers has, like, weird stuff like that, but it's humorous.
Well, it's over the top intentionally.
Yeah. So, regular features. Huel.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, I'll go first.
How is the manual for this one?
See, I alluded to the story in the manual because I did read it. Sorry to say, this is a letdown. There's not much going on here, and we've said this before, but this is a manual of the times. The PlayStation manuals were all pretty much really bad. It's just explaining blandly. Like the controls and the power ups and the guns and how to shoot stuff. The same clip art of a sarcophagus like six different times. There's maybe like two artwork things of Lara Croft, and like just nothing else. There's a picture of the disc that might just be because it's a PDF. I don't know. It's just like a picture of the PlayStation disc. It might just be part of it. I think someone just scanned it all. Like, give me everything. So yeah, just pretty bland. I gotta give it 2 out of 5 Mario 2.
Oh, I was expecting lower, but
I mean, it gives you what you need, like how to control it and what to do. Not even like a tips and tricks section. That would have been fun.
Disappointing.
Hmm.
Well. Our other regular segment, then.
Stall for a second. Hang on.
Is well known. It's very prestigious. Everyone loves it.
They sure do.
And everyone knows how it works as well.
You should intro it right now.
And Todd, we want to know, how many DuckTales does Tomb Raider get?
Ooh, great ask, because as people may not know, the DuckTales scale factors in two things, those being nostalgia and replayability. For me, I don't have much nostalgia for Tomb Raider besides the fold out swimsuit editions in the old EGM magazines. And so I didn't really put my time in on Tomb Raider as a young kid. So I don't have much nostalgia for it. Replayability, maybe it's replayable. Although I don't think I'm ever going to play it again. For Amanda, it seems like it's replayable, but so that all being said and calculated, I'm going to clock this one in at a 0.25 DuckTales.
Ooh! Oh
man, that was close.
Our closest one yet.
I think so.
Huel put in a guess of 0.23 DuckTales.
Ooh, very close. Very close.
I am zeroing in.
Mm-hmm.
Zeroing.
Yes. Someday, Huel, someday.
Well, like I said, the one before I started sending you the score is exactly right. But no way of proving it.
It doesn't count. Pixar does not. Didn't happen.
Pixar.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
In general, or are you moving on to another segment?
Moving on to another segment.
Okay. So, you know,
back to back.
We are the masters of segues on this show. You know, as Amanda has said already, this is a 10 out of 10 series, not to mention game. I think it's okay for the time, and I think you boys agree with me. But I have two reasons why Tomb Raider for the PlayStation is the most best game of all time.
Oh.
In this first one, this first one, the first one is written by Alan C. Logan, and it's titled Original. Yeah. Yeah. The Wolfman. Original Tomb Raider is awesome. This is the best Tomb Raider, along with the second one. Graphics are actually still all right now, 20 years later. Buy this on here or PSN. It's a wonderful game from a simpler time. Reminds me of my youth when we didn't have video walkthroughs. 5 stars.
Hmm. Oh.
Nice little dig at the modern video game player.
Yeah. He doesn't need,
video walkthroughs. Yeah. Just give me a prima guide and I'm good to go.
I don't trust someone who thinks there can be two bests.
That was good.
Yeah.
This is the best one along with this other one.
All right, here's one written by somebody that has written a review I've read before. It's by Lisa Hufteling, and I read her review of Shadows of the Empire on that episode.
And return review.
Yeah, this one is called Tomb Raider, The One.
Okay.
It's great to play if you have nothing to do well, anyway. The levels are so cool, it gets better each time you go to a new level. Each level have something you must do before you go on. There are a lot of little places that you can find little small health packs. Get those, you will need it because there's always someone trying to stop you and kill you. Oh, if you find anything useful, get that too. Sometimes the informate is right there in your face, and you just gotta look, that's all. This was my only game that I owned for PlayStation. That the time I didn't know if I should play it or leave it alone, I will play it, and you know what? I like it for once. A woman is doing the thing, and I said it's about time. You know what I mean? Well, go have fun. I did. Take your time and do it right. I did, and I got good at it. 5 stars.
Nice. Oh. Couldn't agree more. Mr. Ooh. Review Writer. It's about
Mrs.
time.
Lisa Mrs. Hufteling.
Mrs. Review Writer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, on boy.
International Women's Day.
I've ruined all the goodwill that I collected this episode.
Is it because a review is so good it has to be written by men?
Yeah. Only men play video games. You guys didn't know that?
Yeah, what am I doing here?
We have a guest.
Well, on that note, Hewler Todd, is there anything else you wanted to add about this one before we move on?
I should shut up, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't touch on what the end of this first game is about. Right, you go to the lost city of Atlantis as Lara Croft Tomb Raider. You go to the lost city of Atlantis, and you are just shooting mutant zombies with machine guns on the last stage. Is that right? I didn't actually play it. I just had to watch a video on this one, but that is what I understood where the story goes in this game.
That is correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you also have to fight like this weird doppelganger of yourself down there.
Oh, classic video game level.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why is there a doppelganger?
Battle of Olympus Zelda 2 trope.
Like, was she cloned? Who is this?
Yeah, it's like a meatbag version of her, a mutant.
Yeah, it's like a mutant one. I don't know. They pull this trick in a couple of the games, but it's, yeah, I don't know. Like, Atlantis is full of mutants, and one of them is Lara.
Wow.
Huh. Good for mutant Lara, I guess.
Also on the list of enemies that you fight are Cowboy, Skater Boy, and Bald Guy. So, you know, it seems pretty random.
Bald Guy.
Skater Boy, Avril Lavigne shout out.
Yeah,
that was way
that's
before
where,
that.
That's where she got the name of her song from.
Yeah, I think she was influenced by Tomb Raider.
Well, Amanda, was there anything else you wanted to say about the old Tomb Raider before we moved on?
Yeah, if you're gonna go back and replay, make sure you get as much ammo as possible for your mini SMGs, because that's gonna be your best weapon towards the end there. And in the later games, not the later games, but in like 2 and 3, same goes for the Uzis.
Yeah, one thing we forgot to mention in this first one, even in this first one, there's a stage where you have to shoot T-Rexes in the face to kill them, right? This is a game where you're going back in time and blowing up raptors and T-Rexes, and then you're going to Atlantis and blowing up a whole mutant race. So, like, it's all about her machine guns in this game.
Yeah, just wiping out new life. That's her mission.
Killing as many animals as possible.
Yeah, but your unlimited pistol ammo is not going to kill a T-Rex. So you got to stock up on ammo early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
My pro tip.
Good to know me. If this real life man has popped that guy right in his eyeball.
Well, on that note, let's move right along to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
Ooh, you know what? I did. I was holding on to this one until we got to Tomb Raider this week, because it is a question about Tomb Raider.
Oh.
And they write, "Dear YPB, is Lara Croft more gothic, or is she an average girl with skills? It seems like she wants to discover dark places and unleash hell at times, but she sometimes dresses normal, but then she also dresses gothic. So what would you say she is?" And that's from gothicfan420@AOL.com.
Huh.
gothicfan420, huh?
It's an odd combo. When does she dress gothic?
Yeah, I don't think she dresses goth at all, does she?
Amanda, do you recall?
I don't think she dresses gothic. No.
No eyeliner, no white face makeup?
No. Oh. No.
So if she's not... Okay, I guess if she's not gothic, she's just an average girl with skills.
What about the chain wallet?
I don't think she has a chain wallet either. Yeah, I don't think Lara Croft shopped at Hot Topic.
Yeah, isn't there one outfit you can get in the third game that she wears JNCO pants?
Mm. those bracelets with spikes on them.
Yeah, it's in the fourth game. You can go to a Hot Topic and just pick anything you want to wear.
You just exchange all those artifacts, cash.
Yeah, one stage Topic. where you have to rescue all the band members of the Cure.
Oh no!
I would let them suffer. Whatever trap they're in, just leave them.
Well, Huel, did you receive any mails?
Sure did. Let's read it right now. Dear YPB, I got really excited when I saw last week's episode pop up in my feed, and I saw that it was about a wizard. It had to be about me, I thought. What other wizard could be more deserving? Imagine my disappointment when I started listening and realized it was about that dumb movie with the young Rain Man and the kid from Little Monster. I deserve an episode about myself. I deserve my own movie, or even video game. It made me wonder, if your likeness was put into a video game, what kind of game would you want it to be? And it was signed Gilbert Arenas. Interesting question.
What kind of game would, if we were to be put into a video game, what kind would it be?
Your very likeness, Todd Brisket himself. Tough question.
Tough one.
Hmm.
Have to think about that one.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of games where you can, like, customize your character. So you could, like, make it look like yourself if you wanted. This is, like, out of the box, out of the download. You're in it. It's you. Everyone plays as you.
Oh.
I would want it to be What was that game where, like, your king, is it Dragon Age? Like, your king, and you get to make, like, decisions. Is that a game?
That sounds like a game.
Yeah.
I think in Dragon Age, though, doesn't the king die in, like, the first 5 minutes of the game or something?
I don't know, but I feel like there's a game like that. But I would rather it be, like, I'm, like, the emperor of the universe, and, like, I make all the decisions about, like, which planets get blown up, what alien races to enslave, that kind of thing.
So you want to be God. You want to be...
Hmm?
You basically want to be God. You want to be civilization.
No, but, like, people come and ask me questions, and I'm just like, you do this now. And everyone listens to me. And it's a great game.
Didn't you ever see that Futurama where Bender becomes God for a couple minutes?
Is it when he's in space and, like, some weird civilization grows on his back or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and then he meets the computer.
That was a good Simpsons episode, too. Where Lisa grows a society in her Petri dish.
Yeah. Good Sam.
Yeah.
That's the game.
I would want to be in Earthbound, because those are quirky, fun little games.
That's a good choice. Good choice. We got arcades there.
Pixelated Steve Greenwell running around.
Yeah.
They have arcades. What else?
Yeah, Todd, did you think of an answer?
Oh, you know, I don't know. If I were to live inside of a game, or be somebody in a game?
You aren't. It's not your consciousness. You. Yeah, it's not your consciousness. So, like, you're the star. You're okay. Your likeness. Your likeness is in it.
I mean, they already made my life story. It's called Witcher 3. So,
oh right, okay.
Use that. Reuse. I have seen. Assets.
I have seen all your scars.
Yeah, they run deep.
Okay.
Amanda, do you have an answer for this one?
My answer has always been that if I were to be in a game, I would want it to be like Tomb Raider. I would want like a cool adventure-y game and be like a badass video game lady. So for all the software developers listening to this podcast, since it is International Women's Day, maybe you should all keep in mind that, you know, female characters in video games can be good and representation matters. And you should make more women adventure games. Mm-hmm. And I'm available to model, and just, you know, call me.
Perfect. I'm sure the industry is listening to this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll have you throw on one of those black jumpsuits with all the balls on them pretty soon.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, the motion capture suits? I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
It's in your future.
Yeah. Yeah, we can have more than two video game heroines.
Yeah. Why does
Lara Croft and Samus Aran.
Yeah, why does is Lara Croft the only one allowed to raid tombs, or what? Other people can raid tombs.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Seamus Aran. Oh, she's raiding alien tombs.
Yeah, she's the alien tomb raider.
Well, she's more of the alien animal exterminator, since she's always killing all the Metroids and you know.
Also true. Yeah.
Amanda, we did not publicize your appearance in the slightest.
Yeah, and I didn't tell anyone, so
it'd be weird if you went. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I also did not get an email, but I do have a quick new news segment. There it is. So just three quick items. First, there is a Super Mario Encyclopedia coming out.
Oh.
Ooh.
Which covers, it's got artwork and information on all 17 Super Mario games.
Wow. If it's anything like that Zelda one, then it's fantastic.
Well, the Zelda one, I imagine they might have a bit more to work with, because Zelda actually has kind of a story.
Hmm.
But, yeah, this one is $39.99 for 256 pages. and there's a collector's edition for $79.99. So those are a little steep, but if you want
that's
that,
that's more than a video game.
Yes.
When can we expect to see this on shelves?
It strikes me as kind of that thing that you'll see like a copy or two at like a bookstore, and you'll pick it up and read it and go, "Oh, this is cool," and then look at the price tag and go, "Oh no,
flip it over." Yeah,
yeah. It's like, what am I going to do?
And then you're like, "Oh, this is all on a wiki somewhere."
Yeah, it's like, what am I going to do? Leave this on the coffee table? Like, it's bad enough. I got the video games on display. That's enough. So, second item. I think I may have mentioned this in passing, but Square quietly released a Chrono Trigger port for Steam last week.
Yes, you brought it up last week's new news.
And it is really bad. There's a flood of negative reviews. Apparently, for the fonts, they just ported over from a bad cell phone version. And they're using like Arial font in the menus and stuff like that. But apparently modders are now modifying the game and actually making it good and playable. So
I heard that the controls are also bad because it is that phone port, and also the controls cannot be modified in any way. And also they have some kind of filter on top of the gameplay that makes it look weird.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's an RPG, so.
Yeah, the graphics somehow look worse, even though it was made for the Super Nintendo. Like they are more pixelated now. And just the final quick item I had was that Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn, does not have a release date, but the cost is it's $29.99 for the PS4 and $39.99 for the Switch.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay,
same game.
I'm sure the people that kickstarted it really care about those price point releases.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they get a free copy. Or at least, they do.
That's what I'm implying. Is like this news update for people that had kickstarted it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, because they already have a copy.
Yes.
Not everyone kickstarted. Maybe we all want to know the latest news on Check 2.
We are going to have to cover it at some point. And one last quick little thing. Bethesda will be having their E3 news conference Sunday, June 10th.
Oh,
so
one of our
mark that on your calendars. They did a little trailer animation for it, and there are characters from Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Dishonored, and Doom in the little animated trailer.
Yep.
That's a fun stuff maybe. But that's new news for the week. Todd, did you have any asks this week?
No ask this week. So everybody, if you need help,
oh wow,
if you need help, send in your ask to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous unless otherwise requested.
Yes. All right. On that note, Huel, anything else before we sign off here?
No, I just want to shed the shackles of my upper class British society and go adventuring.
Don't we all, though? Todd, anything else from you before we sign off?
Sure. Me bum's gone to sleep again, all down the left cheek.
What? Is that from the game?
That's a quote from the 2001 classic movie Tomb Raider, Lara Croft.
Oh, yes. We might have to consider that during Oscar time next year. From the sounds of it. Amanda, thanks so much for guesting on this week's show. Anything else you wanted to say before we signed off? Any projects to plug?
I don't think so. No projects to plug. Nothing to say, really. But thank you for having me, guys. Always a pleasure. Happy International Women's Day to all of the ladies in your lives.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks.
And
thanks for coming back.
On that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's episode.
Barry went to the same house.